You're my beautiful day. You make the dark looming clouds sail away. It's so great we're all together now. The poor weathermen say they can't be blamed, 'cause there just was no way.
Welcome back, everybody, to Quid Pro Quo, the musical podcast where I introduce my friends and loved ones to progressive rock music, and they get me to listen to, well, whatever they want. And I know that this this episode is probably coming out a week later than it should. My calendar is saying that this is going to be released on September 1st, and I like to upload these the last Friday of every month. But you know what? Life got in the way, and I wasn't able to upload this one sooner than I had anticipated. So here we are a week late, and I apologize. As it looks like there might not be an episode for September, so think of this as like a little bit of a double up. And if there is an episode at the end of September, consider it a bonus. I'm just going to see how life kind of all unfolds. I've got a couple irons on the in the fire that I'm hoping to pull out soon, but they're still brewing. They're still clicking away. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in and following us on season two. I know that we're not uploading quite as often as past seasons, or I guess just the past season. I want to thank those who stuck with us. The viewership has definitely gone down, and I anticipated that. So if you want to share this around, like and rate the episodes, comment if your platform allows it, and just spread the good news, spread the word around. Anyway, I want to thank Olena Osinski for doing the graphic, and I also want to thank Explosive Ear Candy for their song All Together Now, which is the soundtrack to this podcast. And that's about it in terms of all the housekeeping stuff. I wanted to get that kind of out of the way right at the get-go. Let's dive into this episode where I have one of my favorite people in the world, as all of my guests are. This is an individual that I've known for well over 10 years, and yet we only really communicate like maybe once every other year or so, but we always pick up exactly where we left off. We have great conversations, and I can't wait for us to dive into the two albums that we've got for you today. She got me to listen to something a little bit different, so we have a really good conversation with that. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode. Let's dive in. Come along. Ooh, give me more of your sunshine. Are we ready to dive into, with this energy that we have captured, are we ready to dive into this episode of Quid Pro Quo?
Let's do it.
So I want to welcome everybody to another episode. Very happy to get this one on the road. This is one that we've been planning for a while. One of my best friends from library school is joining with us, Gelthamy, would you like to introduce the listener to who you are, why you're here, any fun tidbits about you?
Oh no, fun facts.
Fun facts. Yeah, two truths and a lie.
Well, hello, my name is Gelthamy. I am one of Michael's best friends from library school. And I am very excited to do this. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I don't have any fun tidbits. I'm a librarian.
That's pretty fun. Yeah. I do. I always figure it's a one in three chance of any of us, graduating with our MLIS and actually becoming that realized librarian. So
that's very true.
You beat the odds. Yeah.
All right.
So that's pretty cool. And I know that we bonded quite heavily over music with our very short time at library school.
Yeah.
I was
consistently, and I thank you, and I want to apologize for continuously bombarding you with weird and strange music. But
that's okay, because I think maybe I did the same to you.
Right? Yeah.
I do a lot of weird music that you probably wouldn't have listened to.
You you were the first and still only person to convince me to listen to Weezer.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shocking.
I know it's shocking. Because, you know, you were the one, because, oh boy, going through high school and middle school, everybody's like, Weezer, Weezer, Weezer. And I'm like, eh, nah, I don't know. And then you were like, nah, you gotta listen to it. So I listened to their first album in Pinkerton, and I'm like, yeah, this is okay. It's okay. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, but I want to listen to other music. So
you know, it's funny that you remind me of this now, because that was one of my options that I was considering.
Oh, I mean, I would love to revisit. And this is actually a really, really good segue then. Mm-hmm. Into what's your choice? What was the item you, I don't know if you followed through, but you did ask if I had Netflix, which made me very curious and very excited about this.
Yes. So this is going to be a weird choice, which I guess is fitting, because I think I've always kind of given you weird music options. Mm-hmm. So this is... So it's a Netflix special. It's a comedy Netflix special by Bo Burnham.
Is it Inside?
It's Inside.
Oh, yes. I thought the moment you said Netflix, I thought, is this going to be Bo Burnham's Inside? Man, I remember watching this when it first came out at like peak lockdown.
Okay, you've seen it already. Okay.
I have, but I have not revisited it since. So I'm very curious to see how it's going to age. How, I mean, now that we are, and I'm using very sarcastic language here, officially out of the pandemic.
Right.
You know, now that the pandemic's over and nobody's catching COVID-19, nobody's dying from it on a regular basis.
It's like gone forever.
Hospitals are not being overrun or, you know, bursting at the point of capacity. That's all long behind us now. We are.
Yes.
Yeah. It's almost as if it never happened. You know, it's kind of like this. It's like the Spanish flu. You know, nobody dies from influenza anymore. Right. We eradicated it back in 1920, you know. Mm-hmm. That's why nobody's
nobody knows. Exactly.
Nobody knows. It came, it went, it was a little flash in the pan. So it'll be very interesting now that we are 2 years out since it first dropped.
Yeah, it came out in 2021. So yeah
I want to say it was like March or April of 2021. So we are recording on March, not March 1st, April 1st.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Happy April Fool's Day. So.
Oh, that's right. Oh my goodness. Imagine if this was like some elaborate prank.
Well, so funnily enough, last year or the first year that I was doing this, I got my friend Stephanie and I proposed the idea of doing a masterpiece albums. Uh-huh. So she got me to listen to Fleetwood Mac's Rumors, which undeniably is a masterpiece.
Of course.
And I got her to listen to The Shags' Philosophy of the World, which you should have a listen to because it is an experience.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So Frank Zappa said that The Shags was better than The Beatles.
Oh.
And Kurt Cobain listed The Shags as being one of his major influences and one of his favorite bands.
Oh. Okay.
So...
I feel like there's a punchline coming, though.
You just have to listen to the music.
Okay. All right.
No, that's super exciting. I'm really excited to go back and rewatch Bo Burnham's Inside. So okay. I will go and do that. Would you like to hear the album that I have selected for you?
Of course.
So I had two ideas for this. And because, you know, one of our first real bonding moments was over our love of the Beatles, I wanted to give you a band that kind of matched that kind of flavor and that kind of tone. Mm-hmm. But I've already done a number of bands like that, and I want to do something very different. So instead, I chose a band that was much more modern in their progressive rock tendencies. And again, you got me to listen to Weezer, so I feel like they're very similar in that kind of modern vein, like modern rock. Do you know, so the band is called The Deer Hunter.
Okay.
And it's spelt like D-E-A-R, not D-E-E-R. So like The Deer Hunter. And I'm going to give you the album Act 4.
Okay.
So Act 4. Okay. The actual, like, it's Act 4, Rebirth in Reprise.
Okay.
So giving you a little bit of context about this. The Deer Hunter started as kind of like a side project from Casey Crescenzo. And he started with an EP of Act 1, then followed up with a full-length album of Act 2, go into Act 3, put out a couple side projects here and there under the Deer Hunter moniker, and then after a while in 2015, he put out Act 4. He did follow it up the year after with Act 5, and it all tells like this big sprawling epic story of this individual's kind of life events and struggles, you know, struggling as a kid, going to war, taking a new identity, finding his son. So it's like this big epic story. And so Act 4 is kind of like the midpoint of the story. So
It sounds really neat.
Yeah, it's really cool. This was also the first in like album I listened to for the Deer Hunter, so I think it's a really good entry point into their music and their discography. The overall vibe is like very modern rock with fun overtones. Like Casey hired a small horn band, like a small horn ensemble, to help flesh out and provide some padding for the tracks on here. It's a really fun time. I really enjoy it.
Okay. I'm excited to listen to it now.
I hope you do. So we will go off into our own little musical silos, our own little musical worlds. I will have a lot of fun because I actually have quite a bit to say about the comedy and the special of Inside. So I'm pretty stoked to again revisit it and see what it turns. And I'm excited to hear what you think about The Deer Hunter.
I'm excited to listen to it. I haven't heard of The Deer Hunter before, so this will be good. Always up for new music suggestions. This is good.
There we go. I love it. Love it. Okay. So we will see everybody after this small ad break. To get away, 'cause I know the future's on our side. Give me more of your sunshine. And with that, Gelfmi goes into her own little musical silo to listen to The Deer Hunter's Act 4, and I get to listen to Bo Burnham's Inside. I actually get to sit down and watch something, which is really good. There's an audio-visual component to my my dive in there. And I just wanted to let everybody know, kind of going in, that we recorded this back in March or so of 2023. So we kind of talk about the pandemic and the ramping up of things and things, you know, continuously still being in a pandemic. That might seem a little outdated by today's standards, you know, September of 2023. But honestly, if things are going the way that some people are predicting, might not actually be all that off base. So, yeah, stay safe out there. Take the precautions that you need to take. And, just do everything you can to stay safe. That's my take-home message. And that's kind of the take-home message that we have on this podcast. So, yeah, just wanted to let everybody know about that. And, put that into context. But we had a great conversation. I can't wait for you guys to hear what Gelfmi and I have talked about for both of these albums and both of these artists. And I hope you guys have just as much fun listening in on it. I'm not going to beat around the bush too much. I already did all my thank yous and all of my credits. So we're just going to dive right back in. Just as a reminder, probably not going to be an episode at the end of September, but if there is, then surprise. But it's looking like some of the
the plans that I had are starting to fall through and not seeing the flourishing that I was hoping. So there might be a little bit of a lag in episodes going forward, but I'm going to do my best. We might have to go back on hiatus, but I'll let you guys know. I definitely have an episode in the works that I'm very, very excited for, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to that. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to beat around the bush and get back into it, but here I am doing that exact thing. So let's dive back into the episode, find out what Gelfmi thought of The Deer Hunter and what I thought about revisiting Bo Burnham's Inside. Let's dive back in. 'Cause I know the future's on our side. Give me more of your sunshine. Give me more of your air. Give me more of this feeling. So we are back after that little interlude. We have listened to, or watched in my case, our respected albums. And I gotta know, what did you think about The Deer Hunter's Act 4?
I really liked it. I know you kind of described it at first, but I don't think I expected it to be as epic as it was.
Okay.
It felt like a very big journey of some kind, which is really good. I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. I am not in the habit of like listening to like a full album from beginning to end. So I think like listening to it from beginning to end and it being as epic as it was, it felt like a really cool experience.
Oh, good. So then how do you normally listen to music?
So there's no method to it. I usually like find a random song somehow, like I stumble upon it somehow. And then I think like, oh, that sounds really cool. And then I'll look up the album and I'll just sort of listen to songs at random. So there's no like methodical.
Like close your eyes and just click on a song?
No. Like I'll just, you know, like see what the songs are and like see what sounds interesting. I'll listen to it. Uh-huh. And then, I just sort of like skip around. I don't usually go from like beginning to end like it's intended to be.
Uh-huh.
I know that there's a reason why it's in the order that it is. That's why this cool
okay.
Like there's definitely like a story.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. I'm just thinking about like how to do that with like a concept album. Like this one is a narrative concept album, so like clicking through and just clicking a random song and being like, okay, I guess this is great.
No, you can't do that with one.
No, not
which is making me think like maybe there are other albums that I listen to in a jumbled order that maybe I should have listened to in order. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good chance for you to go back and listen to some of those albums again.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, from start to finish.
But I really liked it. It was like, I liked all of the, like the instrumental. It sounded very much like, almost like a Lord of the Rings soundtrack because of like how like epic and intense it was. But then at times it's like this could be like a Tim Burton movie soundtrack too.
Interesting.
It had that like quirky feeling to it.
Yeah, like so the composer that Tim Burton usually uses is Danny Elfman, who had a band in the 80s called Oingo Boingo. Casey Crescenzo, who is the kind of the mastermind of Deer Hunter, I would be shocked if he wasn't aware of that and had it blend into the music at some point. You can hear that a lot more in some of his more modern stuff. So that's very interesting that you picked up on that.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun listening to it. I think because like I don't always listen to a lot of like instrumental music unless I'm like working and I need like instrumental music to like concentrate, so it was kind of interesting to see because like obviously there were like lyrics and everything, but the instrumental is like really what stood out to me, which is weird because I usually focus more on the lyrics. So
That's so interesting. So, Norm, I love to ask people this. So when you listen to music and there's lyrics in there, do you predominantly hear the lyrics first or do you
Yeah.
hear the music first?
No, I hear the lyrics first. And in a way, like when until the lyrics come, I feel like the song hasn't started.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And I think a lot of like prog rock and like a lot of like I don't know, I'm not gonna get the genre right, but a lot of that kind of music is like there is just instrumentals for long periods of time.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah,
in your
which is
case,
cool.
I was gonna say, in your case, then the song hasn't actually started yet. We're just waiting for
Yeah,
the
we're just
track to get
waiting.
going.
It's just like a very like exciting prelude.
Right. I have a handful of like purely instrumental albums, and there are a few.
Yeah.
So for you, it would be like, oh, it's just white noise. Like, let's get to the good stuff.
Well, no, it depends. I think if I
Okay.
know that it's just instrumental, then that I'm not waiting for
Okay, okay,
lyrics.
okay.
So like I sometimes listen to like classical music when I'm like trying to work and I need to like concentrate, or I listen to like movie soundtracks that are just instrumentals, but that's more of like a concentrating thing. It's not really like yeah. Otherwise,
Yeah.
yes, I'm waiting for the lyrics to get there.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. And this is something that I've mentioned a number of times on the podcast is the best type of music to study or work to is video game music because it's written for the intent to pay attention to something else.
Right.
You
Oh,
know,
that's
it's,
interesting.
yeah,
I
so
never thought of that.
give
Yeah.
that a try the next time you're, you know, doing a lot of work and you need to concentrate, put
Yeah.
on some video game music.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, I'll give that
Yeah.
a try.
Was there any track on here that stood out to you in terms of like, ooh, I really like that one, or one that you would go back to?
Yeah, there were a few. The first one was Waves. I really like that song. I think I like the lyrics from that song.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Surprise. I'm shocked.
There was another one as well. I think it was hold on.
She is
The
pulling up
at
the
the
track list as we
end
are
of the
waiting.
earth.
Which one? At the End of the Earth?
I think that's the one.
Yeah,
It
that's the
made
one
me.
that follows Waves.
Oh, okay. Then yes, I think that yeah. It made me think of like, okay, this is kind of weird. But it made me think of like this would be a good song for like a Buffy episode.
Oh, I can hear that. It's kind of got like a 90s flair to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
I get it. I get it.
I think the lyrics were like talking about like your soul returning to you or something, or returning my soul to me, something like that. It's like that sounds like it would work for Buffy.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. No, that's great. Did you pick up on any of the storyline of what's kind of going on? As I mentioned in the first half, this is the fourth act, the fourth chapter of a very big story. But one of the things that I like about this one, or in terms of like the overall arching story, is like each chapter has kind of a beginning, middle, and end. So there might be a little bit of like overlap and overlay and like callbacks to past chapters, but I feel as though each one kind of has their own self-containing story. Did you pick up on any of that? We had a little bit more time with these albums since we're not
Yeah.
recording immediately after. So.
Yeah. I don't know that I picked up on like a story like that. Now I'm trying to like remember. I just remember at the end being very much like something about like I forget what song it was now, but it was like talking about fame and like, I don't know, like the pressures of fame. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the like overarching story would be like.
Yeah, I'm still a little bit in the dark, and I've had this album for a long time.
Yeah.
It's I feel as though this is like an epic tale of like the one man's journey. For me in this one, because we're coming off of Act Three, was all about his experiences in war. And so this is his integration back into civilian life, but he's also taking on a full new persona. He's actually taken an identity of a fallen soldier that was in battle in the past album. So he's trying to reconcile these two lives of like who he was in the past, who he wants to be in the future. And so like some of the overarching concepts on this one is like identity, what it means to be a person, who are you, can you rewrite who you are? So yeah, a lot of that is kind of all interwoven and intermixed, and I probably butchered and glossed over a lot of other very subtle themes in this. But you know, that's kind of where we're at with this. One thing I always like to ask is, would you return to this, or would you seek out anything else by this artist?
Yeah, I was actually thinking, like, maybe I should listen to, like, the earlier albums to see if, like, obviously there's a continuation happening here. So I think I would listen to the, like, the first act all the way through. But I will say that I think I'm just not used to, like, listening to it, like, all the way through, like, sitting down for, like, an hour and listening to it. So I think if I do listen to it, I'd probably listen to it in, like, chunks.
Right, you'll pick and choose tracks
order. Now that I know that there's a story, I'll go in order.
Okay. If you do like this one, I highly recommend checking out the next one, Act Five. Because it's sonically, it sounds very similar. I find Act One, Two, and Three sound a little bit different. The first three acts are a little bit more raw. They're a little bit more like straight rock rather than the orchestration rock aspect of it. Number three is quite intense. It has some really
like
story beats, but also music. At times it kind of edges into metal, you know, but four and five, I usually listen to together for like a good 2.5 hours because sonically they sound very similar.
Okay, then
maybe I'll check out five next. Great. Any last words? I'm guessing you're I'm glad and I'm happy that you enjoyed this.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. It was like a nice mix of like listening to like a movie soundtrack, because I feel like it had that epic feeling, but at the same time, like, you know, they were nice.
Yeah, I think the original plan, and I don't know if they're going to do it, but the original plan to finish the whole thing with Act Six, because it's always been a six act story, was to have the sixth act be a mini movie.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know if they're ever going to be able to do that. You know, just the amount of production work and the financial commitment that is needed for something like that. But we'll see. We'll see. And Casey over at the Deer Hunter is now working on this other project of the Indigo Child and Antimai, which is a whole other story that he's developing. So we'll see if we ever get an Act Six. So,
Even if it was like an animated
That would be cool. Yeah. So let's shift gears. Let's move on over to Mr. Bo Burnham.
Okay.
It was so interesting revisiting this, because as I mentioned, I had watched it when it first dropped 2 years ago, which is ridiculous to think about. You know, when we were in the height of the pandemic, and that was kind of the whole aspect of it, you know, we were all locked away, you know, safety reasons, obviously, you know, we had to stay safe. And it, this really dove deep into that time frame. Like, it's almost as if somebody took a cultural picture mm-hmm. of where everybody was at that time. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I want to know how, because you said you came to it late. So how did you find out and what was that process?
Yeah, so I came to it very late, as in like just maybe 2 months ago. Like 2 years later. I knew about it when it first came out, but I didn't think to watch it. And not because I'm not a fan, but I just don't know his work. I know who he is. I remember, like, because he was like one of the first YouTube celebrities, right?
Yeah.
I remember when he appeared on Parks and Rec. Yes. And I remember thinking, like, wow, this kid made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and then when this came out, I remember hearing all of the, you know, the sound bites that people use in like Instagram and TikTok videos and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I knew what it was. I knew some of those clips, but I never thought to watch it. And then recently someone at work was talking about the special, and then it reminded me, like, oh, maybe I should watch it. I should check it out in full.
Yeah.
So I did. And I don't know what I was expecting. I feel like this happens to me all the time. I kind of go into things blind. So I went into it thinking, like, oh, it's like a comedy special. It's going to be, like, great and fun. And it was. It was great.
Yeah.
But it was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So were you, did you watch any of his other specials or anything like that? Like his stand-up stuff?
No.
Okay. So yeah, you went in very blind.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know about him through like other people talking about him. So I feel like I know he's a comedian. He does like, you know, like musical comedy, that sort of thing. So like I had the format down, like I knew what to expect, but I wasn't expecting like him. I thought it was just going to be about him being locked up in a house during quarantine and like doing funny things like people do on YouTube.
Yep.
But it was that. It was really funny, but it also got like very deep, and it was just like a very slow descent into a lot of issues. I was like, wow. It came off very like sincere and honest, which is not what I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me, it was like this very like a breath of fresh air, and very I'm trying to think of the right word, like so refreshing, because I feel as though the past 10 years all of our media has been not as sincere, and much more cynical, and you know, even though there's like a little bit of a cynic side of Bo Burnham, he's always presented himself as very honest, you know. And one of the things that I always loved about his humor is it's very introspective. It's very self-critical, but not in a deprecating kind of way.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. Yeah. Very like self-aware.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that I think this special captured so well was the feeling of the unknown of when this was all going to end. You know, this and the frustration and the mental toll of that uncertainty over a prolonged period of time.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's a moment in the special where he's like, I've been doing this now for a year.
Yeah.
And he just breaks down.
Yeah.
And like, I love how it really, looking back, chronicled a lot of our experiences. Like, it definitely chronicled my experience, where at first it's like, oh, this is going to be for however long, you know, now I have a lot more time to dedicate to projects that I've always wanted to. And then slowly but surely being like, I don't know when this is going to end.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if this, it's almost feeling as if it's ever going to end.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? That's true. Because when we were in it, and like when you don't know what to expect next, and you don't know what's going to happen, it did feel like, oh, this is it. This is forever now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I don't want this whole podcast to be like, oh, this was our experiences in the lockdown. But like, at the same time, like, it really did allow me to reflect upon that time. And how we kind of went through it. And I mean, I was talking with my partner afterwards, after I had watched it, kind of saying, you know, when I was going through it and I was thinking this, you know, because I'm the eternal optimist. I'm always trying to look on the bright side of everything.
Yeah.
It's like, even in this horrific, traumatic event, we can grow from it. We can learn from it. We can take things out of it to make ourselves and the world a better place. And I felt like us as a communal people, we kind of had two paths ahead of us, right? We could either learn from it and make ourselves better, or we could not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if we did, you know, if I'm being honest.
Or like individually.
I think as a whole, I think as a community, I can't speak individually outside of myself. So right. I don't know. I'd like to think that I've applied a lot of that stuff. I also, like, it's no secret that I've had some issues in the past in terms of feeling like I've been locked up in my own house and not being able to escape. And during that time, I had to create strategies and coping mechanisms and all that to get me through it. So when the lockdown came, I was like, oh, I've already been through this. Like, I already know how to handle myself in this. This is like old news to me. Right. You know, so that never really affected me as much as I saw it affect a lot of my friends and my loved ones. And so I did a lot of things to do my best to help them out by trying to teach them different strategies and different coping mechanisms to help them throughout it. But I feel as though us as a society kind of came out of the lockdowns kind of with the wrong lessons learned. I also feel like I'm monologuing, so if you want to take over the conversation at any time.
I kind of agree with you on that, because like I feel like there was a time when we were in like, you know, going in and out of lockdowns and like going in, coming out, going back in. During that phase, there was this like feeling like, oh, like things are going to be different from now on. Like things are going to be very not like, there's going to be like a before and after moment. Mm-hmm. We're going to like change in some dramatic way. And now looking back on this, especially through this special, because it is like a really good snapshot. Like it's like a very clear picture of like, obviously not everyone's experience, but like I think people can relate to that experience. And like watch it now and you think like, did that really happen? Because it's almost like a dream. Like it didn't like did we all like hallucinate this time?
Yeah.
Because that's what it kind of feels like. Like it feels like surreal. Mm-hmm. And I think I have like the tendency to like if enough time has passed. And I feel like enough time has passed. It's only been 3 years. I like whenever I think back on it, like the early lockdown days, I can't help but think about it. Like, oh, like how quaint was that?
How quaint!
Like not the death and plague and all
But everybody was making bread. You know, yeah. Every like. so many different artists and musicians were putting their concerts for free online for people to watch. We were coming together, like Dungeons and Dragons was releasing modules for free for anybody to use, whoever wanted to. You know, there was this collective, like we're not just focusing in on what makes money. We're focusing in on what will help people.
And was like this like very collective, like everyone was focused on the same things at the same time, and like everyone was sharing it. It felt like it was, there was like this like very real connection on like global scale, which is so weird because like how can you even do that? That's really strange. So I think when I think back to that time, that's what I remember. I'm like, like that was like a nice time.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not a good thing to say, maybe, because it was a hard time.
It was, but I also, I share that sentiment. Like I have a lot of very strong and positive memories and emotions to that time.
Yeah.
Even with all of the uncertainty, even with all of the, you know, who knows how long this is going to go for, you know, there's a lot of things that I hold very, very dear from that time.
Yeah.
And I fear as if we've come out of it very similar to how Bo Burnham at the end of the special comes out of it. Where everybody is still scared. Everybody has this cognitive dissonance about it where they're trying to pretend that it never happened. And anybody that's trying to process or live in a post-COVID world is, and like recognizes that we've gone through it, is like demonized or like, no, don't wear, like I still wear my mask whenever I'm in a crowded area,
you know,
and I'm the only one in a crowd and I get like, I've been castrated, not literally, but like I've been called out for that. I know it's, they get extreme up here. like I've worn my mask in, you know, shopping malls and whatnot. And I've had people like scream at me, that I was wearing my mask. And you know, and I was like, well, what happened to that communal, all of us working together kind of attitude, you know, like I'm not screaming at all of you guys for being unsafe, or at least in my mind, what I perceive to be unsafe. Why are you lashing out at just this person, you know?
Yeah. But you know what? It's interesting because it almost went from like everyone being on one side to then everyone being on the other side. And at both times, I think there were people who were like, but wait, I don't, that doesn't feel right. And I think now we're just on the other side where everyone's like, oh, it's gone. Like, it's fine. And
yeah, let's just
like, no, I'm still scared.
I'm still pretty scared out there. We've gone to, I keep saying the old, people are basically just spitting in each other's mouths and then hoping for the best. It's just like, it's getting to that point. And so I feel as though, if you watch through the whole Bo Burnham's, you know, inside, you can see how it was tracked where, you know, at first the sketches are very funny. They're very cohesive, you know, very well thought out. But then as they go, you slowly see this slip where they're still very funny, but they're much more introspective. They're much more him dealing with this whole thing. There's a lot more monologuing. There's a lot more interactions between him and the camera, less skit oriented and much more like, what, how am I going to finish this? Like, there was the one clip that was very powerful for me where he was saying he doesn't know how he's going to end it. And then realizing that this thing has to end. And then he doesn't know what he's going to do after that, because the only thing getting him through the day at this point is this special.
Right.
And once that ends, he doesn't know what he's going to do, because he'll have to essentially deal with the whole situation that's going on. And I just, it was very moving and very powerful to see that now 2 years out, being on the other side and being like, Yeah, a lot of people kind of went through that and now don't want to learn from it. Like they don't want to take what they've learned and instead want to push back and be like, they want to almost find the, like somebody to blame almost, you know? Maybe I'm overstepping and overreaching here, but I don't know. I see so much more divide. I see so much more pointing fingers and being like, well, you're wrong or you're wrong. And I'm like, well, what happened to that whole community where we were just sharing sweet bread and the recipes, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what I meant by like, oh, that was like quaint because everyone was very like community oriented. And now we're back to very like, you know, like gotta go to work, gotta do my own things and all of that. Yeah.
It's, I mean, one way or another, it was intense.
And I kind of get it from like other people's perspective, but like you maybe want to move on. Like it was a really like horrific experience and you do want to move away from it, but I feel like it's just sort of been forgotten, and I think it takes me longer to like process things, so that even though it was, you know, pretty recent, it still feels like I don't know that I'm ready to like move away from it yet, or I still need to like think about it. And that's why I think if I had seen this when it came out, when we're in the middle of lockdown, I think it would not have gone well. This is my life.
Yeah, it was so powerful when it first came out, you know? And I feel like with any kind of trauma, because I think this is what it is. I think it was like a collective trauma that we've all experienced. You have to like deal with it in a healthy way to help you kind of recognize the damage that it's done and then heal from it. You know, it's like any other type of injury where if you don't heal from it properly, like if you break your leg, if you don't set the bone properly, it's going to affect you in other ways. I wonder if enough time has passed for us to finally acknowledge some of that and set the bone properly. Cause I don't know if we've kind of done that. I feel like once the lockdowns have been lifted, people are like, great, I don't have to look at that ever again.
Yeah.
I'm going to go exactly back to where we were
like in February 2019. Yeah, like reset.
Yeah. Just like a full on reset. Nothing like that happened. We don't have to worry about it. Even though we've acknowledged and recognized so many of the, why can't I think of the proper word? Like drawbacks, how our health cares aren't working, how all these other things have been identified. Let's completely ignore that. You know, everything's working fine. We just, if we put our heads down and just get back to where we were at 2019, everything will be fine again. And I feel
like full steam ahead. Like that was just a short blip. Don't worry about it. We're just gonna like barrel through.
That's
what it feels like. Kind of like that song, the internet song.
Yes, Welcome to the Internet.
Like, yes, that one. I feel like that one, like that song is it's perfect. Like that really does describe the internet, but also like it describes like how we sort of like live in the world where we're just like doing a whole bunch of random things and like everything is kind of like chaotic. Like it's horrible but also like beautiful and like it's like the full range of things.
Yeah.
Honey, how you grew, and if we stick together, who knows what we'll do. It was always the plan to put the world in your hand.
It was, it's a whole mess. And that, like, I love that track because it really does distill. It's like, remember when
it was full of promise, like the midpoint of the track where he slows everything down and he's like, yeah, there was travel blogs, a chat room here and there, and there was all this promise and we could do a magnificent amount of things. Yeah. And instead, we want to use it to dox people. We use it to find celebrities' feet. We, you know, this is what we're using.
Like deep fakes.
Deep fake. Yeah. And it's like, on the one hand, the internet has brought us all closer together. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, It's really
I really like that part in the song, that midpoint where he's like, he's talking about like the promise of it, and then like immediately cuts to like a maniacal laughter. I think like he really walks that fine line between like fully funny, like so funny, and then also like kind of sinister. Because there were some songs, I can't remember the one song, but it was like, it was a very like, there was like no production to it. He's just like singing to the camera. And he gets like angry and then he starts like spinning the camera around, or he starts like spinning around with the camera.
I think he's really angry.
It's like, I forget.
I think that's the last song, All Eyes on Me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that one is super powerful because he goes right out and says, like, at the very beginning, like, touring and being in front of a crowd was giving him panic attacks, and he had to quit. He had to quit the whole stand-up routines, which was his big livelihood. And then after 5 years of mental health and therapy, he was getting himself better and back on track up until he decided to go back on the road, and that's when the pandemic hit. I think that really distilled that whole like sideswipe that the pandemic had. Here's this person that got his mental health on such a good track that he was about to do the thing that was giving him nightly panic attacks, who then earlier in that special said that his mental health is now at an all-time low. It's like, oh boy.
And to like see that, like obviously this is still a performance, so you do have to wonder like like, you know, how much of this is really him and how much of this is like his art, which is fair, he's creating it, but then like to see it, you kind of like see it like a reflection of that time and like what maybe other people were experiencing at that, or maybe you yourself were experiencing at that time. So it's kind of interesting that way.
It's fascinating. Like, this is going to be something that we really like study, I think, when it comes to art that has been made during the pandemic.
And like an interesting look at it, because he doesn't ever mention that there is like a pandemic going on. I think he calls it like when in that same song, when he's describing like going back on the road, and then he says the funniest thing happened, and then like you know what that is, and then there's like references to like everybody go back inside or like get inside,
but
they don't ever say like, you know, there's a global pandemic. So I think like years from now it would be interesting to like look back at this and be like, oh yeah, there was a time when we all hid in our homes.
I could talk endlessly about this, but I think for now we can at least bring this conversation to a close. I had a lot of very different emotions this time around, because when I first saw it in 2021, it hit a lot different. There was a lot of stronger emotions. Whereas in the second time, because I hadn't actually watched it since then, but I had been listening to the soundtrack quite regularly, watching the special again for the first time 2 years out was much more reflective. It was a lot more introspective. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the special ages in the coming years. So thank you so much for suggesting this one. This was great.
It's great. I'm glad you got to revisit it and have a different take on it.
So yeah, thank you. As we're drawing this to a close, is there any last minute words you want to depart to our great listeners?
I think just thank you. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for
talking about music.
Amazing. Well, maybe we'll get you back in the future, because we've been trying to coordinate this since I started this back in 2020. So, you know, this was
a pandemic project that stuck, and that's great.
This is, yeah. Oh man, I started so many pandemic projects that I'm still doing now. It's kind of ridiculous.
Wow. Well, good for you. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps me busy, and I love doing them. I think that's where we're gonna close it off. So thank you everybody for tuning in and listening. And please share this around. You know, I'm only uploading it once a month now. Get the word out. I think that's good. Good. Okay. Thank you again, Gelfany, for coming on.
Chatting about
music. We'll surely get you back on again. Oh, good. All right, everybody out there, just thanks for tuning in and keep sharing music.